This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
7:36, Friday, 11th of March, and you're listening to The Morning Run. I'm Wong Xiaoning, together with Tan Chen Li. In the meantime, we shift our attention to Korea, and we're not talking about K-pop for change. We're talking about the presidential elections, because they have a new president following the end of the five-year term for the incumbent Moon Jae-in. Now, the winner is Yoon Suk-yeol, who is a member of the People Power Party, and he's a former prosecutor. He won the neck-to-neck race against the ruling Democratic Party member and ex-mayor and lawyer Lee Jae-myung.
Yeah, with a close count of 48.6% of the vote compared with Lee's, which is 47.8%, that's less than 1% margin. So the conservative president-elect will take office on May 10th and has signaled a tougher stance towards North Korea and China. Yet he will likely face an uphill battle domestically because the Democratic Party still holds nearly 60% of the seats in the 295-member parliament. In addition, what is the president-elect Yoon's stance towards the string of current domestic and international issues, and how will he likely take the country forward?
For answers, we have on the line with us Jonathan Berkshire-Miller, Senior Fellow at the Japan Institute of International Affairs. Good morning, Jonathan. Nice to speak to you again. Like we said, Yoon Suk-yeol has emerged the winner of the South Korea's bitterly contested election yesterday. Was that an expected outcome?
Well, good morning, and thanks for having me on again. So I think that the election polls have sort of been oscillating over the past year. So I think if you would have asked this question a couple days ago, maybe some people would say, yes, this was an expected outcome. But it very much has ping-ponged between the two candidates. As we saw in the final results, this was less than a percentage point. So clearly the Korean electorate is quite divided in what it wants to see from its next president. That being said, I think it's a real transformational period. If you think about 5 years ago, before the Moon Jae-in administration, we had the end of the conservatives at that point with Park Geun-hye, who then subsequently was sentenced to prison on corruption charges. And now we're here 5 years later, and we have a rebranded conservative back in the Blue House in South Korea. So it's quite a significant turn of events within the past 5 years.
Critics have also painted Yoon as an anti-feminist, supports a preemptive strike against North Korea, and has a more assertive attitude towards China. Was this what South Koreans want in their leadership? You know, what kind of catalyst is for his popularity?
I think there were numerous different catalysts. I think a lot of the base, the conservative base that sort of has been really sort of emasculated in a voting sense over the past few years, again, with the scandal of President Park previously, there was this resentment, I think, in some disagreements with the Moon administration. Part of that's on the foreign policy side with regard to North Korea and with regard to the policies on China. But a lot of it is also on the trade and economic side. And I think that those differences were one of the significant catalysts, in addition to sort of some of the graft and scandal issues that frankly hounded both candidates.
And we can't talk about South Korea without mentioning North Korea. So what can we expect about future reconciliation efforts between the two? Or is it pretty much dead in the water with this new president?
Well, it's going to be a very different approach on North Korea. So I think President Moon clearly has favored one of sort of reconciliation, obviously acting as a broker in many ways between its ally, the United States, and North Korea, and trying to conduct symmetry, which we saw a lot during the Trump administration. I think you're going to see a very different approach here. President-elect Yoon has very much stated that he's a big proponent of the U.S. alliance with South Korea, but also feels that deterrence, maintaining sanctions, and ensuring the line on denuclearization is the number one priority. So I think you're going to see a very different approach. That being said, I mean, from the North Korean side, I think their primary focus, number one, is on improving their weapons capability. But number two has always been on dealing with the Americans first. So that's something, you know, I'm not going to say that it has no impact having a new leader in South Korea, but primarily they focus on their bilateral negotiations with the Americans when it comes to this. So I think that will continue.
You said about Americans. So Yoon has also emphasized a stronger U.S.-South Korean alliance, which no doubt makes for a delicate situation with the neighbor, which is China. So how do you think he will balance U.S.-China relationship moving forward?
I think this is the real fascinating angle as well, because North Korea, I think that there's going to be some changes, but I think on the China relationship is really where we have the potential to see some really significant changes. I think the caveat to that is, I think South Korea, with China being the number one trading partner and still reliant on a lot of their supply chains, including on tech, that it won't be dramatic. It won't be that South Korea immediately shifts in and becomes, for example, the fifth member of the Quad, which is a sort of alignment now that is largely an outgrowth of some of the concerns that countries in the region have on China. So I don't expect anything that rapid to happen, but I do think that that Yoon will look much more realistically at some of the challenges that China presents, and that will be much more in line with the U.S. policy in the Indo-Pacific. So I think that's something that we're definitely going to see.
Okay, let's look inward a little bit, and maybe we can get an indication in terms of what Yoon's approach is towards domestic economic issues. We're seeing soaring real estate prices, an economy hit by COVID-19, high unemployment. What do you think he will do to resolve these issues?
Well, it's a difficult basket of issues he has domestically. And I think, we talked a bit on the foreign policy challenges that he has. But frankly, I mean, and those aren't easy either. But some of the domestic challenges are some of the reasons why he's been voted into office. But also, I think you can see by the division of voters that they're not completely sold on either approach. So some of the things that I think he's going to try to address, as he said, on housing, the prices, frankly, are sky high, the real estate prices in Seoul. And I think he's going to try to ease some of this with easing loan restrictions and also looking at market forces so that we can have private sector rental market. But there are no real easy answers on this, frankly. South Korea has some very big challenges in this regard. And I think, as you said, it's going to be challenging to get some of this legislation through with the opposition party still in control of much of the parliament.
Yeah. Let's build on that point, right? Because the Democratic Party, they hold nearly 60% of seats in parliament. So will he realistically be able to push through the legislative reform he wants to enact? Or is he going to be a lame duck president over the next 5 years?
That's a good question. I think a lot of it's going to depend on both sides. I think that regarding on how he sort of approaches his first few months or his first year as president, if they are going to try to prosecute or investigate former scandals with former candidate Lee, for example, that probably will not ingratiate the Democratic Party and opposition parties to work with Yoon and his support. But if there is kind of sending an olive branch to the other side to work with them, there's a chance that there might be a little bit more cooperation. So I think a lot of it right now going into this election was extremely divisive. Some even quipped that it was the Squid Game election. So if they can sort of get back from the brink of this hyper divisiveness before the election to actually cooperate, then we might see some legislation go through.
Okay, so we know it's going to be quite divisive in parliament itself, but what about among the Koreans? Because of the way they voted, right? It's so evenly split. How is he going to reach out and unite the country?
Yes, that's a really good point. And I think this is going to be, a lot of this will be how he reacts in the coming year, frankly. If both sides look to kind of settle political debts that we've been talking about over the past few minutes, I think it's going to keep this divisiveness, not just in politics, but I think in the public sentiment and those who are supporting and distrusting of each other. So if he tries to widen out his base beyond those who have voted for him, I think he's going to take another tack. So I think it really depends on, number one, how he reacts, but also how the opposition reacts to him being put as president.
All right. Thank you for your time. That was Jonathan Berkshire-Miller, Senior Fellow at the Japan Institute of International Affairs, giving us the lowdown on the newly elected president for South Korea, who's going to face a tough time in parliament and even in among the Koreans, because the vote was so evenly split.
Yeah, and I think that he has done really well in his campaign, because he tried to target the younger generation who has a lot of issues on hand. They were having a lot of angst against rising inequality and unemployment and also the housing prices. Mm. And don't forget, he did that deep fake video or avatar of himself.
Not so sure I'm impressed with that, but yeah, maybe it worked for certain segments of society. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.